We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Parks. Biggsy!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Brad is talking to us live from an airplane in Los Angeles on his way back to Chicago. And I got to tell you, buddy, that was a long way to go for a short cup of coffee.
Yeah, I think the only individual with a worse weekend was former score contributor Kevin Goldstein, who apparently masterminded the Astros cheating scandal, gentlemen.
We'll get on that. Today's a Built for Tough Bears Monday, Brad. Got enough to cover now. Let's stick to football. So last night, enjoyed or appreciated your video of Mitch walking off the field, and he did not look like he was that, compromised. What did you observe after the game, and was he hurt or was he benched?
Well, he looked like he was limping even worse, after he came out of the locker room, after leaving the field there. Yeah, if they're going to bench him, I think you bench him at a different point in that game, not with 3:30 to play, and not with another very poor effort, another first half without points. Sure, the kicker had something to do with that as well, but 4.4 yards per pass attempt again, just an abysmal outing for him and the offense as a whole.
And obviously, Brad, you don't bench him for the Giants game. This is a winnable game coming up.
Right.
Now, I don't know if any game is winnable for the Bears the way that offense plays.
The Giants are pretty bad.
Giants are a bad team. So you're coming home against a bad team. You would, if you want your quarterback to perform for the rest of the year, which I'm sure they do, don't you need to build his confidence up by giving him an awful opponent?
This wasn't a benching. How injured the hip is, maybe we'll get some clarity a little bit later on in the week, but I wouldn't hold your breath waiting for that. We'll just have to see what unfolds. The problem is the starter doesn't have any upside right now. The backup clearly doesn't have any upside right now, and it spoiled what was another nice effort by the defense.
Our conversation with Brad Biggs is brought to you by Amazon. Okay, Brad, I know the Bears have bigger problems than their kicker, as you point out in your 10 thoughts, and I am paying attention. But I still think that giving him something to think about, adding some pressure to Eddie Pinheiro, bringing some guys, take a look. You cannot talk about accountability and then let what he's been doing pass.
Or keep the quarterback in the starting position. Listen, I don't think you need to have a tryout for him to realize he's got to start making kicks or he's going to be out of his job. That's reality. When you see some of these kicker tryouts that are happening around the league the last 4 weeks, these names, it's just totally uninspiring. So the guy's got to do a better job. He doesn't have a whole lot of a leash, in my opinion. They went through so much to get to him in the first place. I think they give it a little bit more room. What we don't know is how he's performing in practice, but he can't go out there and miss two kicks again next week and be comfortable in his role. Nagy would have to admit that they've got to at least consider some other options at that point, but I don't have a problem with him sticking that out. I mean, he's way down their list of problems right now. He really is.
Did the Bears play well enough on defense to win that game? I mean,
oh yeah,
17 points is totally, yeah.
They played, a couple mistakes. Kyle Fuller drops a pick. Eddie Jackson and Buster Skrine get split for that 50-yard shot to Cooper Kupp right there late in the second quarter. Defense played really well. I mean, yeah. And that's a Rams team that's, you know, okay, guys. It's a Rams team that was missing two of Jared Goff's three best targets in, the, in the passing game. It's a Rams offense that had a cast of nobodies with Andrew Whitworth, the left tackle on the offensive line. Got to give some credit to former Bears offensive coordinator Aaron Cromer. He did a really nice job with that line, getting them ready to run the ball well enough to keep the Bears off balance. Yeah, don't cry.
Yeah, that was really rough.
Okay, so Brad, when you look at David Montgomery, Tom Thayer said something pretty interesting. Said he left some yards on the field by not necessarily reading the blocks correctly. He suggested that he spend a little more time around the offensive lineman. What did you think of Montgomery's play?
You know, I didn't think a lot of it last night. I actually thought Tariq Cohen had a nice game, had a couple nice runs. You finally saw him hit, I believe, two runs for 12 yards, so he got over 10 yards. And he's got, it's been running a little bit too east and west this year, and he made a couple plays in the passing game. Really nice catch on the touchdown throw. But when the opponent's got a cornerback like Jalen Ramsey that can erase Allen Robinson, and that's what he did, the Bears' secondary targets aren't good enough to win a game for him.
Yeah, you mentioned the Rams being down a couple of receivers. What about the Bears without Shaheen and Burton?
Yeah, what about them?
You don't put them in the same category?
No. Could be addition by subtraction. I don't know.
You did make a good observation, Brad, I thought, when you talked about Mitch's, you know, when number of passes. And when he has 43 pass attempts and nine passes the Rams defended, basically were credited with on the stat sheet, that says a lot about one out of every five throws. That's not great for your quarterback necessarily. It says a lot about the quarterback.
Yeah, it says, yeah, absolutely. I mean, just he, you know, falls off his throws. He, you know, he doesn't read the field well. I mean, it's how dramatically this thing has regressed is a little mind boggling. It really is. Although I think we got some false, you know, kind of false positives from him last season, especially in the second half of the year. But this is you're not supposed to drive a car in reverse this fast, I don't think.
When we talk about, okay, the Bears would have to win out effectively to make the playoffs, and they're two games below 500. I'm not talking about the playoffs. But when we talk about what you have left in your season, what do they have left in their season? What do they have to prove? What do they need to do? And it's not just pride.
I think you're talking about you're hoping that you can see some young guys step up and make some plays. You're hoping that Rashad Coward can develop for you at right guard. You're hoping that maybe they call up one of the tight ends and they start making some plays. You know, Anthony Miller had a couple nice plays yesterday, six catches for 54 yards. It's been mostly a disappointing season for him. You're hoping that second-year wide receiver can make some plays here in the final six games of the season. You're hoping maybe David Montgomery can have a couple big games. So I think you're looking for younger guys to establish some confidence and have some success.
Roquan, I thought, played a good game. He looked like he's back.
Game.
Yes.
Yeah, he had a really good game. And really good game.
You'd like to have – I know that, you know, Mac's not on the score sheet, but I believe maybe Leonard Floyd jumped on a couple piles, so he made a couple assists or something, but come on.
Yeah, Mac, I mean, he's on pace for what, like eight sacks, guys? Nine, maybe?
Yeah, eight sacks, I think. Brad, in your locker room work after the game, did you find out what happened on the Cooper Kupp 51-yard completion when he ran by Buster Skrine and Eddie Jackson?
They were going to bracket Cooper there. They were looking for something much shorter on a third and five play. And the Rams hit him with the one thing that's difficult to defend with bracket coverage, and that's a vertical route. And that's why he ran right past both those guys, 50-yard play, and next snap goes to Gurley for a touchdown, and all of a sudden a 3-0 game's 10-0.
Yeah, that was a big one. And that's a guy that didn't have any pass reception yards against the Steelers, comes right back and he hurts the Bears big.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a vertical guy, but they saw something that maybe they audible to it, and was the perfect call at the perfect time for the offense.
And what was the deal with Cordero Patterson's penalty?
He took his helmet off. I mean, mother of God, is that stupid?
I don't know. He hasn't talked in. I don't know when the last time he spoke was, so I can't give you an answer on that one. Hmm. We'll have to ask Tabor on Thursday, guys.
All right, Big Z. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up with
Safe
you.
Safe travels, Brad.
All right, guys. Get to the bottom of that cheating scandal, fellas.
All right. We'll get right on that one. He's very, very concerned.
He's
with
worried
the
about it. He doesn't like it. That was our guy, Brad Biggs, live, brought to you by your local Ford dealers and the Ford Tough F-150, the official truck of the Chicago Bears.
Let me see if I can get Cordero.
Go ahead.
Hey, Cordero, can I get a couple minutes with you here, man?
Man, I need talking today, man. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Brody.
Brody time!
Brody time! Oh, not, no. What? Pretty smart Brody. Yeah. That was a really stupid penalty.
It was.
What
yeah,
are you doing? What, why would you
can't
take
let that happen. And overall, I think that the penalties... You know, the Rams were the team. Was the
Bears
team that
only
was
had like two penalties,
the most
right?
mistakes that were self-inflicted, you know, problems, and they kept inviting the Bears back
oh
into
my
the
God.
Game.
They were desperate for the Bears to take a lead, and the Bears just refused.
Penalties: 2 for 25 yards for the Bears, That's 6 for 34 for the Rams. Game went fast.
Yeah, it did.
Not a lot of flags. Not a lot of passes.
Not a lot of hope.
Not a lot of hope.
As it turns out. 312-644-6767. We're going to get to all your phone calls next. Mullion Hall on the score.
Here we go. 47-yard attempt. Pinheiro already has missed from 48. And this one is no good.
I think they oh set up for a doink at this point.
Oh, boy. No score.
I'm not worried about anything right now. Just got to keep making kicks in practice and just go back, see what I did wrong, and just try to make kicks.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. You heard the television broadcast there, and of course, Eddie Pinheiro just needs to make kicks in practice.
What, me worry? Whoa, why should I worry?
What
Everybody's
makes you
got my
think,
back.
What makes you think you're invited to practice?
Apparently, it's nonsense to think that the Bears should invite competition to beat out Eddie Pinheiro, and there's no plan of that from Matt Nagy, so okay, all is well in Bears kicker land. By the way, do you think Chris Collinsworth could enjoy this any more than he has? Kind of snicker. Oh, they settle for a doink at this point. I mean, come on. Yeah, ouch.
The man with the double doink.
Do you think that after, okay, so Eddie Pinheiro misses the first field goal,
yes.
the makeable one.
Yes.
The second time they get a shot, Matt Nagy looks at him and says,
"Pass.
We don't believe in you. We're going for it on 4th and 9.
Yeah.
Didn't, in effect, that mean he was going to miss the next one, too?
I honest to God, I thought it was cause and effect.
Yep.
Because if you look at the first one, he just hooked it to the left, which he did to lose a game, right? That was the same kick. Then they pass on him. So it's miss, skip. And then the next miss was... It was like he was compensating. He missed on the other side. He was trying to – he was playing his hook like a golfer.
And he overcompensated.
And he totally overcompensated. And that wouldn't have happened. Well, maybe it would have, but I don't think – I think he should have tried. I think fourth and nine. And was it Olin or Tom who said, if you're going to go for it on 4th and 9, then your third down play better be a hell of a lot better. If you know you're using two downs because you can't kick a field goal with this guy – Then the third down play has to be better.
It wasn't like you were planning to go for it on 4th down. It was like you figured out that it was 4th and 9. You looked over at your kicker and said, I can't do that again.
It's
I can't
insane.
Make that mistake.
And this is the guy that he took a knee for.
That's a coaching problem, okay?
Yes, it
That's
is.
Another unorthodox coaching decision in a season full of them. And I have been as disappointed in that development from the head coach as I have been in any from the kicker or the quarterback. I think when you talk about things you didn't expect to happen this year. Number one, maybe you expected the quarterback to be iffy up and down, but he hasn't taken a step.
No.
The kicking situation has been as sporadic as it was at the end of last season. That is a problem that has gone unsolved. But the most surprising aspect of this season to me has been the ineffectiveness of the head coach and the inability for him to have an impact on Sundays the way he did last year.
Where did the general manager make the bigger mistake, drafting the quarterback or signing the coach?
Once they find him, you can ask him.
He was in L.A. apparently.
Witness protection program.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a really good question. They're tied together.
They're tied together because the one was supposed to do something with the other. But I'm so frustrated with Matt Nagy because I really did. I was fooled by him for whatever reason, and I regret.
I think this is a big picture kind of thing, discussion you don't have until after the season, but I do wonder if he's doing too much. I do wonder if being the head coach and the play caller is too big for him at this point, because you see examples of him not reacting the way a head coach would if he didn't have to worry about what play to call on the first offensive snap of the next series. For instance, is there any logical, plausible reason or excuse for not knowing your quarterback had a hip injury in the second quarter, and you apparently didn't know about it until the fourth quarter?
Because he hurt his hip. He goes, it's halftime, and he says, damn, my hip hurts. It's really killing me. Mm-hmm. And Rags is like, well, how bad is it? Oh, it's just a bruise. Let's take a look at it. Oh, yeah, okay. Then he goes to the coach. You might want to keep an eye on him. His hip's bothering him. Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, yeah. What? And then you start seeing it as the game goes on. And it's conceivable that you can hurt a hip and then it gets worse. I'm making their case.
Then don't reference.
He's hugging you and you're leaning in to get your little thing up and you're telling him, you know, you can't run any of my plays. Every play is a scoring play and you're no damn good or whatever you say.
And my play chart says be you, but I'd rather you be anybody but you right now.
My play chart says don't trust you.
Be Russell Wilson.
Okay. 312-644-6767. Let's get to the phone lines. Jeff is in Rockford. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how you guys going?
Good.
How you guys doing?
Where?
Got a couple points, and then I'll hang up. You know, running out of the shotgun does not work. I mean, the defense can see the running back getting the ball 4 yards in the backfield. There's no
The running back is at a dead standstill. He's not moving forward in any fashion. He's got to, like, get the ball and then start. I'm with you.
And Khalil Mack hasn't gotten a holding call since the Denver game. It's like they won't even give the Bears the benefit of the doubt. They won the Denver game because of 5 holding calls stopped the other team. You know, I mean, it's like he can't get a holding call, and he's held every play. Jersey stretched all over the place, shoulder pads up to his ear holes. I mean, it's like nothing.
Yeah, a couple of texters chided me recognizing how often Mack is getting held and pointing out that he has gone 3 games now without a sack, and certainly – that's part of it. The attention paid him is another part of it. Olin made a nice point about there were only 18 dropbacks. So
right.
The Rams ran 52 plays. There's not going to be a lot of opportunities to make those big plays and direct those game plans. But I think we all can agree, though, you expect to be a bigger part of this defense and have more of an impact on these games than he has been.
I look forward to watching that. When I look at the game again today, I really am looking forward to that, to figuring out what happened there. Let's try Dave. Dave's in Chicago.
Hey, Dave.
Nagy is the problem. Since opening night, when the offense wasn't ready because he thought they didn't need to play in the preseason, and then he ran the ball 15 times. Red zone play calling, terrible. 7 runs. I mean, it's endless. If he were the offensive coordinator, the head coach would fire him and take the play calling over.
Yeah, yeah, I like that call. I mean, it's been awful, and I agree with that. I think it's time for him to try to be the head coach instead of the play caller.
It's been bad enough to make a move. It's been they trust the Helfrich enough. If they maybe Dave Ragone is ready, it's something to fix a broken offense.
No, Dave Ragone needs to just stay on the hip issue.
Come on, give Rags a shot.
Dr. Ragone, please.
Dr. Rags. Rags over Nags.
Please, call me Rags. Mr. Rags was my father.
Oh, my goodness. All right. It's, you know, Joe, you laugh because you cry.
Good news. I got some good news.
Please.
What's good news? Raiders are in first place.
Oh, my goodness.
So
the Raiders are in first place in the AFC West.
If the Chiefs lose tonight, the Raiders will have sole possession of first place.
Let me tell you, that's how you coach a quarterback. Look at Derek Carr, the kind of year he's having.
He's having a great year.
When we saw him in that London game, yeah. What was everybody's takeaway? Oh, my, he's so much better.
I'm going to drive that car.
Than the Bears guy.
I don't have a disco in here. I don't have a disco. Well, let's all start dancing.
Did they bring it back from L.A.?
You know, that's what I said to David this morning. I'm like, is it Tony Mendel? Whoever has to carry that bloody disco thing, what a burden that is.
They should make Eddie Pinheiro carry it.
Oh, God.
Can he lift it?
Awful.
From the Northwestern Basketball Update Studio,
he tried to kick it, but he was wide left. Charlie Brown.
They're going to have a contest outside Goose Island.
There you go.
He said, oh, look, we've seen this defense a lot over the years. You can still feel the New England DNA in it. Jackson, end zone, touchdown, a strike, Mark Andrews.
Now I would just like to introduce y'all to the man, the myth, the legend, the MVP front runner. If anybody else got to say something different about that, then come see me.
Yeah.
I'm right here in Beemore outside the bank. If you got an issue with that, come see me. I'm about that. Big trust. Woo woo. Lamar Jackson in the flesh. Yes, sir.
Big trust.
No era. I'm with you.
New era 8 apparel.
Mark Ingram loves a little bit of Lamar Jackson.
Everybody needs a hype guy like Mark Ingram.
Wow.
Goodness sakes. But if you are playing alongside the NFL's front runner for the MVP. That's how excited you are.
Big trust. Woo, woo.
Wouldn't that be something to have a football player in your city that exciting to cover?
What are you saying?
Well, that's why you take a quarterback every year, because in case you hit on one.
Oh, what are you saying?
Never mind.
Yeah. It's dark days.
I mean, I'm saying that's honest. What it looks like when an offensive coordinator reconfigures the entire scheme around one
guy. We're sitting here. The Bears are 4-6. 4-6. They what were they all of last year? It's just
12-4.
It's just,
you know, six losses.
It's so
at this
deflating.
Point in the season, and yeah, it's oversimplification to say that if you had a kicker that was reliable, that you'd be 6-4.
But
you could make that argument, and it's not crazy.
If you had a quarterback that was reliable, you could be even better than that. Look, last year, here's the thing, that this is what this year is doing to you. It makes you feel that last year wasn't this glorious start of something, this great building towards something. It was kind of a fluke. You had a really easy last place schedule. You didn't have to play all of the really good teams. It was kind of a fluke. The ball bounced your way. You got turnovers galore. Every time you turned around, you were getting a turnover, and not just getting a turnover, you were scoring off them. It was kind of a fluke. You had this offense that was working. You had a coach of the year guy that will never win that award again.
And it was kind of a fluke. And perhaps
kind of a fluke.
That's the most troubling aspect of everything that we're watching.
Greatest defense ever composed. Kind of a fluke. No injuries.
No injuries, very little adversity, and you had a future Hall of Famer potentially fall into your lap because of a contract dispute in Oakland. You were able to pull off the deal for Khalil Mack. Congratulations on that. But, you know, you have to sustain success or else that one season's not going to be worth the draft picks you gave up to get Khalil Mack. You're going to lose that trade. Wow. You don't want to be in a position to lose that trade. And I never thought that would be possible a year ago, but come on. What you just said, you can't act that surprised at that idea. You got to bounce back.
I'm horrified by that. I'm literally holding the top of my head with my hands. I'm just but, that, you know, one caused me physical pain. I have to protect my face.
Here's what we are talking from our vantage point. We have a lot of scar tissue from the McCaskies,
sure,
in covering the Bears for a long time. And so we are used to, you know, the fail-safe is dysfunction. And you expect bad things to happen if they can happen. Last year was an aberration to us. Last year was, you know, too good to be true to some degree, because sure. we had seen so much bad football and so much mismanagement. And it had been since 2010 still that they won a playoff game. This year was going to change all that, right? This year was going to be, okay, head coach matures, quarterback progresses, front office keeps looking smart. This is what an NFL franchise is supposed to look like in Chicago. And here we are at 4-6.
It almost, the exception to the rule almost reinforces the idea that when the Bears actually win consistently in a season, it's by mistake. 312-644-6767. I'm sorry, but that's sometimes how you feel when
you
look
so
at this.
That's so true.
Thing. Bandwagon is on the road. Hey, Bandwagon.
What's up, Bandwagon?
You jumping
hey,
off?
Guys.
You jumping off yourself?
Hey, that's a great segue to my call, and lots of guys are jumping off because of what you guys are saying, and it's all true. And the thing that you asked Bigsy a couple of segments ago was, hey, what should these guys play for? And I'll throw out a suggestion. How about not being probably the first team in NFL history to go from last to first to last in their division? They're only a half game up against Detroit, and Detroit may be a better team right now. Thanks for taking my call, guys. Great show.
Thanks for making the call. I don't know that I'm in a position the morning after you lose to the Rams in an elimination game to feel like I care about last place. I just don't.
I know.
I don't know that if you don't finish in first and if you don't finish in a wild card spot, I don't know that the rest of it matters, because you're still going to be going into 2020 needing a new quarterback and revising your plan.
Minnesota was losing big, and I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, the Bears can win, get to 500, back in the hunt. Maybe Minnesota's starting to fall apart, and then Minnesota came back
and then
won
you
that
had lunch. and then Brandon Allen came crashing back to earth.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins woke up.
Kirk Cousins, unbelievable.
And that offense.
How do you like that?
They like him a lot. I mean, that guy, since playing the Bears changed the course of his season and potentially his career.
It's interesting.
He has an amazing touchdown to interception ratio since that game, September 29th.
The Bears crushed them, and we came in the next morning, and the Bears' defense was, my God, they're as good as the 85 team.
Can we lose that show forever?
Please.
I mean, goodness. We were
We were fired up.
Over our skis.
Because they didn't just beat them. Alfredo's on the north side. Good morning, Alfredo.
Good morning, Alfredo.
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
All right.
I have three questions for you. They're going to be real easy. One,
okay.
Do we move on to the backup quarterback? Two, what head coach would you guys bring next season?
Oh, boy.
And three, what quarterback will be available for the 2020 draft? Love the show, and I'm waiting to hear your answer, guys.
Thanks, Alfredo.
Okay, number one, Tyler Bray is not a guy I'm going to be excited to go to. If you're going to change quarterbacks, he makes more sense than Chase Daniel.
Right. But I think this is a winnable game against the Giants. I think good things could happen. I'm going to say this, and everyone's going to throw things at their radio. Don't veer off the road. Mitch looked better than he has in other games. They had 7 points. It's an absurd comment, but they didn't go 3-and-out on the first possession. Mitch looked better than he has in a while.
If he's healthy, he plays.
He's got to play if he's healthy.
Number two, we're not firing the head coach.
No, the head coach is going to be here next year.
And number three, the quarterback's available in the 2020 draft. I think you're going to be drafted in the second round.
Okay, Tua falls in the second round? Is that humanly possible with this horrible hip injury? You get him for a second-round pick, one of your two second-round picks.
Well, you trade up in the second round,
of course. Oh, well, you have to trade up. I'm sorry.
For Tua, you want to give up a third.
You trade both those picks to get a guy that can't play for you. That's pace.
Can you trade a compensatory pick? Can you trade the Mike Davis pick?
You can't. You're not allowed to trade it.
Oh, okay. So you trade your fourth-round pick.
There you go.
But if anybody can do it, it's Ryan Pace.
I want to think about
petition
this,
the league.
I want to think about this Tua thing a little bit longer before I commit to that idea. But
well, and I don't even know that he'll be in the draft, David. He's having surgery today.
Right.
Horrible injury. Horrible reports out of that game that he was screaming as they were carting him off. Now, I did see a thing online where he was in the hospital bed and he was kind of rolling his shoulders like he was dancing, acting like everything's going to be great, which I really hope to God it's right. But you got three leg injuries now, and I mean, my God, so much for tanking.
You wonder about his durability. I mean, that sounds really probably cruel to point out at this point, but if you're looking at the draft, those are kind of the things you have to consider.
Don's on the west side. Good morning, Don.
Hey, Don.
Hey, good morning, guys. Real quick, man, it's been a season full of pride of egos, man. Like, with Pace, first and foremost, you know, you look at the myriad of players that's taken after Trubisky and taken after Shaheen, and it's like you don't go for the for-sure thing. You want to gamble. You want to be right. You want to be the unicorn. Two, Nagy, as far as the pride and ego go, you know, you're calling all these plays. Like, do you have no consciousness of situational football? Third and one, you run an option. Third and one, you run in cross patterns. Taylor Gabriel with Jalen Ramsey on him, okay? And it's ridiculous, you know? And then now you promised us prime rib, you serve us family, and now the players get mad because we boo and all. Well, guess what? You guys created this narrative. You guys said Super Bowl. If you don't say Super Bowl, if you say, okay, we're just building, then that's what probably the fans would be looking towards. Okay, well, we're building. You know, you got this horrible quarterback that you're propping up. You're not really telling us the truth about him. You're not being honest with him. He's a grown man. If he can't play this game, they should have been told him that. Now, I understand, like I say, I may not have a full understanding of the NFL, but I do have an understanding when I know somebody can't do a job. And, I mean, this whole thing has been a big crap show, guys, and I'm really disappointed in this season. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Don.
Good phone call, Don. I think that you speak on behalf of a lot of frustrated Bears fans. They're disappointed because the expectations going into this year that were embraced by the team and everybody celebrating the centennial, that they were going to the Super Bowl. Remember, wasn't it going to be, you know, 34 years since and the George Halas's birthday, and there were all sorts of things that were provided this football symmetry? Kind of silly now.
Okay, new plan.
New plan.
First of the two second-round picks, you take Tua because he falls to you. Second of the first-round picks, you take Jalen Hurts.
Uh-huh.
That way you can match them against each other. Then you hire Saban.
I'm all for that.
And he comes in because they're probably going to – after they fire him for not making the Final Four.
Yeah.
Help.
And we know Hurts and Tua can play together.
Well, we know how well they get along.
And they, you know, they can win a championship together.
Just take turns. You bring one guy in when the other guy goes down.
I think you need to revise your draft plan.
I'm working on draft plan.
We'll do that tomorrow.
We're all ready. Here we are. It's Victory Monday without the victory, and we're stuck now with six games left trying to figure out how to get a couple quarterbacks in here.
But we are still winners.
We're the winners.
We are.
Because it's a Victory Monday, because we are victors. We will not be dragged down. You can't do it to us. We won't have it. We're going to bring in Dan and Connor next. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.